ai lao hi, ai lao hi, because if
najtrudniejszych mych doświadczeń właśnie dziś znalazłem się. Szukam drogi, drzwi ujrzałem, trudno tak otworzyć je. Wierzę, że zobaczę słońce zwiastujące nowy dzień. Bóg mi miłość znów okaże, a ta próba wzmocni mnie. Smutek, radość się zamieni, choć jeszcze płyną łzy. Klęcząc na swoich kolanach, wiem, że pomoc ześlesz Ty. Nie ma mowy o porażce i zniechęcić nie dam się. Smutek, radość się zamieni, cały świat to ujrzy wnet. Będąc w doświadczeniach wielkich, przypominam sobie, że ja nie jestem przecież sam, inni też przechodzą je. Bóg Cię pragnie ukształtować, doskonałszym czyni wciąż. Smutek, radość się zamieni, bo szczęśliwi ujrzysz to. Smutek, radość się zamieni, chodzisz jeszcze płyną łzy. Klęcząc na swoich kolanach, wiem, że pomoc ześlesz Ty. Nie ma mowy o porażce i zniechęcić nie dam się. Smutek, radość się zamieni, cały świat to ujrzy wnet. Gdy na szczycie góry stoję i mój wzrok kieruję wstecz, widzę, jak z najgłębszych dolin Jego dłoń wyrwała mnie. Mogę słońca blask podziwiać i zwycięstwa poczuć smak. Smutek, radość się zamieni, łaskę mi okazał Pan. Smutek, radość się zamieni, chodzisz jeszcze płyną łzy. Klęcząc na swoich kolanach, wiem, że pomoc ześlesz Ty. Nie ma mowy o porażce i zniechęcić nie dam się. Smutek, radość się zamieni, cały świat to ujrzy wnet. Smutek, radość się zamienił i uśmiecham się przez łzy. Klęcząc na swoich kolanach, wiem, że Pan dopomógł mi. Nie ma mowy o porażce i zniechęcić nie dam się. teh radošen zamienil, sa vy sviato vidíš. God will make this trial blessing, though it brings me to my knees. Though my tears flew like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial blessing and the whole wide world will see.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing maybe small chorus. He is an answering God and Brother Greg. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came.
Bless you, saints. So yes, I have another poem. This one I really like. I like the other one as well, but this one it's special. So I just wrote in maybe in 40 minutes, and when I start writing this poem, I couldn't stop, but I had to stop because it's kind of long the way it is. Maybe 3-4 minutes by the grace of God. Okay. So this I could call actually. The other one I couldn't call, but this one I could call. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We are coming to church to sing Hallelujah, Hosanna. Listen about Christ is the hidden manna. I'm taking God that I'm not a coward, so I will speak and go forward. I'm taking God for his perfect plan and for the rising of the sun. I know that living right, it's easy to say, but I want to choose to live the harder way. Amen. And I don't want to stay silent, that we all need full obedience. It's simple way to avoid problems and collisions. We all know that is a safety in the vision. Everything can be fixed when the God speaks. Amen. We get one day a great lection about deception and protection. We speak about great forces when we talk about untapped resources. We are not perfect because we are only a creation. That's why we need to wait for a season for a visitation. We have all things in our possession because he's the high priest of our confession. We don't have to worry because we are his seeds. So he will make sure that he supplies all your needs. God is perfect in three, and the truth will set free. And it's no more time for messing. We need to have condition for divine blessing. We need to be able to have good conscience and to be prepared for the two unions. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us from evil locust. We appreciate that you're helping us being focused. Thank you for your word and for your token. And we all believe that you are the mighty conqueror. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to crawling because we listen your heavenly calling. Keep us safe and don't keep us safe to don't be like Pharisee and to always listen words of your prophecy. Help us seek your face and enjoy sound of your intruder of grace. Thank you, Lord, for being my reality. For us it's not mystery because you are God in simplicity. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing scripture that you're giving to us. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be safe. Amen. And thy house. And on the end, thank you, Lord, for every minister you sent to us to Dublin. Having them was like being in a heavenly dream. Amen. Thank you, God, for every office and for our pastor. Keep using them to achieve your goal. Thank you, Lord, for these titles from our church I could use for your glory. I hope, Lord Jesus, you like my little story. Amen. Amen.
Ah, that was good one. Amen. If somebody was listening last messages, it was Brother Greg. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Coming from the East, Coming from the West.
Coming from the East, coming from the West, coming from the North and from the South. All the rainbow clouds are gathered by the shine. We have seen the Lord, this world promised to the prophet to return. Ride his trail again to reveal his new name, to preach his bride, to prophesy again. Oh, coming from the coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Of the 70, we are Mount Zion in the secret place by the sovereign grace of our Lord, a city on a hill, glory come and be, manifest the great and final fruit. Coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south, gathered by the shout, shine on the summit of the seven peaks, rainbow covenant.
Coming.
is coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. I gathered by the shore for adoption on the summit of the seven peaks. Know we not, know we not, you are the Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple for the holy, full of praise. See.
Amen. What a promise. Mercy drops. Amen. They just make you desire the showers of blessing. Amen. Saints, we do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. A wonderful day. Amen. A few announcements here of firstly, visitors. We've got Sister Rudo's friend from Northampton, Veronica Mavengo. God bless you, wherever she is. God bless you, sister. We've got two sisters from Cloverdale. That's Sister Jenny and Sister Carmel. God bless you, dear sisters. Brother Kwame's friend, Crucilis from Venezuela, but he lives in Dublin. Amen. Amen. And we've also got somebody who's moved here from Croatia, Brother Sasha. He's been in touch with Brother. God bless you, brother. Amen. 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 They come from the east and west, like we said. They come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He has his people. Also, Thanksgiving, Sister Lily. Thanks God for giving her a job after a successful interview. Amen. Wonderful, sister. And then a Thanksgiving, Sister Natiza, saying a Thanksgiving note to the Lord for upholding me during exams. Thank you to the saints for their faithful prayers. We thank the Lord. And let's have our prayer request. Sister Lily, Brother Pele traveling to England on Tuesday. Brother Godfrey is traveling to Zambia this Friday for 5 weeks. So may the Lord bless you, brother. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for Thanksgiving, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are so present and you're so personal. And Father, you care so much. So Father, we bring ourselves and these requests unto thee upon this day. Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters that will travel. Bless them. Watch over them and keep them. Bless them where they go. Father, establish them. Even Brother Godfrey, as he had gone, bless him. Bless the time that he has with his family once again. Bless him back home with the saints, Lord. Bless the congregation there, we pray. Bring him safely back, we ask. Father, we thank you for our brother from Croatia. Bless him. Help him to settle. Guide him and lead him, Lord, in the way that you'd have him to go, Lord. We thank you, Father, for our visitors, Lord, upon this day. We pray your special blessing upon each and every one of them, Lord. Father, how wonderful that it is to be a part of the family of God. And as we approach your word, Father, how we need thee. We need thee every hour. And Father, we approach the sacredness of your word. We approach, Father, holy ground at this time. We want to come by the way of the blood. We don't want to come by the way of, Father, our own ability. We don't want to come by the way of any righteousness of our own, but we come saying, Father, let your will be done upon this day. Speak unto the souls of your people. Father, change us into your image. Draw nigh unto us, Lord. Let the power of revelation, Lord, upon this day have its way in the souls of your people, we pray. And them that know you not, Father, let this be the day. That great appointed time, Father, the right time, the right place. Glorify thy name, we pray. Help us as you open your word. Bless it unto us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open 2 Peter chapter 1 once again. We started looking on Friday at the seven steps to perfection. We started looking once again at the statue of a perfect man. Very important principles inside of that message. So we'd like to look at that once again. On Friday we looked at faith and we looked at virtue. And that's as far as we got. And we started to see from the statue of a perfect man different things. But the first thing that we saw as we open 2 Peter chapter 1 is that we are his workmanship. Amen. It's not our responsibility, in a sense, to fashion ourselves into the image of Christ. Amen. It's his great responsibility. Amen. Because we are his sons. And he's called us unto adoption. So it's the responsible of the great master to put us under the great tutor to bring us to that place. But we saw on Friday clearly, as we'll see in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we have a sacred part to play as well. So let's look in verse 3. From verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So the first thing we see is that every resource that you'll ever need in this life as a son and daughter of God, he's given it to us. So he's never going to put you in a trial. He's never going to put you in a valley. He's never going to put you on the potter's wheel without giving you the resources that you need at that time so that he achieves the purpose that he put you into that situation for. So we saw it on Friday that it's never the problem that there's no resources. It's always the problem that we don't use the resources that are there. That's where the problem comes in. If he puts you into a trial, he always makes a way of escape. You know, it would be against God's purpose to put you in a situation, not equip you for that situation. If he's trying to teach you in that situation, he's going to give you the resources that you need before and in the midst of that trial to teach you. Otherwise, what would be the point? He's your father. He's trying to teach you his ways. So it says, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, who's he? He's the anointed word. He's Christ. He's the message of the hour. That hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So not only do we have his divine power giving us the resources, we have his divine promises as well. So these are powerful things that he's given to us. Great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then now he's shown us all that the Lord's done for us. Then he says, and beside this. So, okay, now the Lord's done this. Now, this is what you have to do. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence. That's what he looked at on Friday. Giving all diligence. So he's not going to put you in a situation, give you all the resources, then fight the battle for you. He's not going to put the whole armor of God on you, and then you know he's going to continue fighting the battle for you. No, no, he's going to empower you, but you have to give all diligence. If you're in trial, give all diligence. If you're being tempted, give all diligence. So the problem doesn't come in because we don't have the resources, we don't have the promises, we don't have the power that's allocated to us. But the problem comes in is we don't give all diligence. Amen. So giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would explain why some people can be 5, 10 years in the message and they've got nowhere. Not saying they didn't have a good foundation of faith, but they haven't given diligence. They've given more diligence to their studies, more diligence to the natural relationships in life. They haven't given diligence to the most important thing, which is to develop the stature of the image of Christ. That's the most important thing. So it says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence again to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amen. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he finishes off in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truths. That's our aim. We don't want to be negligent, to put you in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, because you're in the message of the hour. But it's good for us to go through them once again. May the Lord bless his word. You might be maybe seated, saints. Got a few announcements. We'll make them at the end. So we looked on Friday, just for those who weren't here, we looked at this great purpose that he has. You know, we saw his great promises. The great promise, the first promise is you are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. So you can see that the very foundation, if you can put the slides there, sister, help you some slides here today. The very foundation of this work is faith.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
Without faith, you might have to help me on this one, sister. It's not going. If you go to the first slide there, the 7 steps to perfection. The first thing is faith. Once it comes up there. Technology, don't you love it? You can't live with it and you can't live without it. So there's our faith. So the very basis of your call, the very basis of you being a believer today is faith. Now think about faith. We spoke about it a bit on Friday. Can you give yourself faith?
No.
No. Faith is a gift of God. It's the grace of God. So the very first thing you're going to see in the statue of a perfect man is the entire foundation is predestination. The entire foundation is election. There's nothing of your own ability, nothing of your own goodness. There's nothing that you did to deserve Christ coming your way. It was just because you were in him before the foundation of the world. Because you are his seed, you are his son, you are his daughter. This election, this predestination, therefore in due season, he's going to pass your way.
Amen.
You're going to have your time of visitation. What is faith? Faith, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you. That brings the new birth. He reveals himself. When God speaks to you, that brings faith.
Yes.
That's the only thing that can bring faith, is when he communicates with you.
Amen.
So the beginning of your Christian life, there's got to be a call. There's got to be a revelation. There's got to be something that he does for you to start the work going.
Amen.
We'll see that just now. Somebody was praying on Friday and somebody was asking the question as well. I really saw it. Is that when you get onto this statue of a perfect man, it's very easy for people to misunderstand. And especially on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you look at this, and the prophet seems to say it in here, but you've got to keep on in other messages as well to get the right understanding. But many people are saying, but no, you know, if I don't have these virtues in me, I don't yet have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, my friend. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're never going to get these things in you. So you've got to put it the other way around. So we'll see that God has to visit you. There has to be a supernatural something take place inside of your soul to start the divine process working inside of your life. That which is in the seed, that which is the potential in you, that which he placed in you from before the foundation of the world, he has to pass your way to start the spiritual principle in motion that's going to bring you up these seven steps to perfection and to adoption. Because we are predestinated, another great promise, divine promise, we are predestined what unto? The adoption of children. That's what you're predestinated unto. You are predestined to your position in Christ. So that Christ can reflect himself in you. So that you can be a living tabernacle of the Most High. So that his purpose that he had in his mind for you from before the foundation of the world, in this dark age, that he wants you to reveal himself. And he predestined you unto that. And the beginning of that is going to be faith, because he's going to have to pass your way. Because when you're in the pig pen eating your slop, you're never going to think that slop's not that nice until something comes and works inside of you and starts bringing something else to life inside of you. And then you're going to start looking the eagle in the chicken yard and start saying, but hey, I'm different than these others. Now this doesn't taste so nice. Now there's a something that he has to put in you. And he's the one who has to start the work.
Amen.
And then he who began the good work in you, he has another divine promise, shall be faithful to complete it.
Amen.
He's going to be faithful. The only thing he's asking us to do is give all diligence.
Yes.
Give all diligence. When he starts dealing with you, for example, in the act of faith, repentance, when he draws you away and he calls you, you can't just sit back.
Amen.
When you know God is knocking at the door, you know when something spiritual is happening inside of your soul. Maybe you've never ever been attracted to spiritual things before. You've been walking through life, going to the nightclubs, wasting your life in riotous living like the prodigal son. You've never really thought much about spiritual things, about the kingdom of God. Then there comes a season. Then something comes and starts working within the veil. And all of a sudden you start thinking thoughts you never thought before. You start getting a certain spiritual concern that you never had before. That's the grace of God to you. That's God calling you. There'll be a deep calling to the deep. Something starts to waken up inside of you. Now when he comes with faith, when he comes to reveal his grace to you, when he comes to make known to you that he's finished the work for you, that at Calvary he finished the work for you, that your salvation, that your redemption already within him, in his mind, it's a finished work. It's complete in him. And he reveals that to you. What's he going to expect of you now? Now you give diligence. Now you respond to his visitation. He's not going to repent for you. You've got to do the repenting. He's not going to separate you from unbelief. You've got to separate from all unbelief. His word's going to call you to separate from all unbelief. But it's you. You've got to take the steps. When he's calling you and you can feel there's a potential, there's a possibility that something's going to change inside of my life at this time, he expects you to give diligence. He expects you to put some sweat a little bit, to get down on your knees, to get down at the altar. He expects you to pray. He expects no dry-eyed confession. He expects you to seek him while he may be found, to call upon him while he's near. He's not going to do those things for you. He's done everything else. He's given you the resources. There's the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. There's the spirit of repentance that he brings upon you. But when it comes, he says, okay, now I've done my part. Now you give all diligence. You repent. Now he's not going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. It's up to you to give all diligence. That you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you make restitution of your wrongs. That you confess your sins. That you go to your wife and tell her you weren't faithful. That you go to your husband and tell him that, you know, the life that you lived wasn't quite what you told him that it was. God's not going to do those things for you. But if you want to move on from faith, if you want to continue on these steps to perfection, you've got to, even from the very first stage, you've got to give diligence. Adding diligence. You've got to be diligent in what you do. Why? Because there's opposition. There's the flesh. The flesh is never going to be redeemed in this life. So when he's trying to work redemption in your soul, there's going to be warfare straight away. Because your flesh is going to rise up. Your flesh doesn't like this kind of a thing. But your soul does. So you're going to have to give diligence. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek him. You're going to have to break through certain barriers. Break through certain opposition that comes against you. It's not only the flesh. It's the devil. There's a spiritual power, powers and principalities. They're going to array themselves against you the moment they discern something spiritual is taking place within the veil. And if you're just going to sit back and put your feet up and say, you know, he's done it all for me. Yes, he's done it all for you. But for you to benefit from what he's done, you've got to give all diligence. You've got to use your diligence. And that's the principle that he's going to show us. That in any vision, any divine working, any divine plan, there's God's part and there's our part. And he will always bring his part to pass through just at the time it should pass through. But he expects you then to play your part. He's going to come to the tomb of Lazarus after 4 days, yeah? But you've got to roll away the stone. That's part of the vision. He's not going to roll away the stone for you. You roll away the stone and then see the power of the resurrection. Then he's going to do the next thing. So we as believers, that's our part. So we're not trying to work our salvation as if our works can save us. No, he's saved us already. We saw last week the prophet said he's already prayed us through before the foundation of the world. It's already a finished work in him. But friends, we've got to be like the little chicken, like Brother Lexi was preaching, Brother Nanda was preaching. We've got to peck our way, break ourselves out of that shell. Now there's this process that is made. So the very beginning of this stature of a perfect man shows this principle. That he does the most important thing. He gives you the resources, gives you the visitation, gives you the anointing. He opens the door, grants you the season of visitation. But you've got to now respond. The prophet says all the church is required to do is to respond. There's nothing else you're supposed to do but to respond to the anointing. And friends, when you don't respond, be careful. Because sometimes he moves on. In the prayer lines, the prophet would call people out. The pillar of fire would hang over somebody. The vision would break forth. And the prophet would say, Mr. So-and-so, you're going to miss it. And then he'd say, you missed it. You have to respond. And then he would move. You don't want to be doing that, friends, in this life. When you feel he's doing something inside of your life, God demands full respect, full attention. Because there can be nothing more important when he passes your way. So you've got to start off the right way. And then we got on Friday, we looked at virtue. We saw that virtue is that spiritual strength. That's something which Christ had inside of him, that when the woman came and touched his garment, there was a certain power in him that could be transmitted from him to somebody else. That's Christian virtue. And we saw the principle of this one. The principle virtue taught us is that you've got to use the divine resources. Because we looked at Reverend Mr. Lilly. That's the example the prophet gives. That although all the potential is in the seed, there's nothing that Reverend Lilly, the lily, can do to make itself beautiful. The inward beauty is already there. The potential to express itself is there. The potential to bring forth nectar in his season is there. The potential to shine forth the beauty and the glory of God is in the seed from the beginning.
Amen.
But the seed is in the mud.
Yes.
The seed is under the water.
Yes.
There's many obstacles between the seed and the surface.
Yes.
That's why the seed has to give all diligence.
Yes.
Adding all diligence, the seed has to press and push. Keep drawing from the resources and expressing itself and pushing it way out. Jesus says, who by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? You can't make yourself something that you're not. But friends, there's many things you can do to grow spiritually. Just as much as there's many things that you can do to grow naturally. You can exercise. You can give yourself diligence to such things. And it's going to start, you're going to start seeing the effects. And the same thing spiritually. So we saw that one there from Reverend Mr. Lilly, that everything that you'll ever be is already ordained in you.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's ordained inside of the seed, but there's many things between that seed and the full expression of that seed. And that's why we've got to come from here, and we want to come to the full expression of Mr. Lilly up here. That's what we're being called unto. So we've got to be diligent. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to be honest. Now, when you're failing, sometimes you need help.
Amen.
Is any afflicted? Let him pray.
Amen.
Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. There's times you need other people. There's time you need somebody. Two is better than one. Yeah? Because if one falls, there's no one to pick him up. Woe unto him that is alone when he falleth.
Yes.
Yeah, but if there's two, when one is cold, the other one can give him warm.
Amen.
And a threefold cord it cannot be broken. That's what Solomon said. You know, so these resources, we looked at it on Friday, there's the resources of the body of Christ with all of the virtue that's in the body of Christ.
Amen.
All of the gifts and the potential and the experience in the body of Christ, God has put that at your disposal.
Amen.
In your time of need.
Amen.
He's already done that. He's given ministry.
Yes.
He's given us a messenger to the age.
Amen.
He's given us the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
He's given us nine gifts of the Spirit. This is all the things that he surrounds the divine resources. He's given us the message.
Amen.
He's given us his revealed word. Friends, there's so much power in these things. But as Brother Lexi was preaching of the untapped resources of the bride. It's not that the power is not there. It's not that the potential is not there. The potential is there. But what's lacking is the diligence.
Amen.
To use the resources.
Amen.
To use the things that he's given to you. He didn't give them to you for nothing.
Amen.
He gave them to you for just such a time as this.
Amen.
And you need that discernment inside of yourself to look around and recognize and say, but Lord, what is your provided way of escape? You've led me. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You've led me to this place for a purpose.
Amen.
Lord, what is the purpose?
Amen.
Lord, I seem I'm going to be overcome. Surely you'd never put something upon me that I'm not able to bear. So therefore, what are the resources that you've given me? What is the equipment you want me to use? It may just be the jawbone of a mule, like we saw last week. It may just be two little pieces of leather. Yeah, two strings of leather, like David had. But he's already given you the resources that you need. And if you give diligence, he'll do something for you in that situation. But we saw it straight away from virtue, that you've got to be drawing strength. You've got to be drawing strength and pushing out. You can't do this by yourself. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
That's the principle of virtue. So we looked at those things and about giving all diligence. But now we just want to get a little bit further on. We'll look at two other ones today by the grace of God. We want to have a look at knowledge and temperance. And like Brother James put on the forum yesterday, saying, these things, it's nice for people that are born with a good nature. Friends, don't worry. Everybody gets their portion. In the stature of a perfect man, when you look honestly in the mirror of this, every single one of us has our portion. Every single one of us, when you look there, you're going to see, but yeah, I need the grace of God. Because he's trying to build us up into this image, the seven steps unto perfection. That's what he's trying to do. Now, let's just get a little bit of terminology right from the beginning. Sorry, I don't think this is working. Okay, so like we're saying here, let's not get confused between new birth and adoption.
Amen.
There's two things here. Now, I know adoption is the full new birth. That's what it is. But the prophet uses the terminology in different ways. So we'll just take it as that for now. That there's a starting point, which is the new birth. We'll take it like that. That's how he puts it inside of this message. But he wants to bring us from new birth and build us up to bring us to adoption. But before we can come to adoption, there's got to be a certain character. There's got to be a certain something which is developed inside of us before he can bring us to hear ye him. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. Hear ye her. So he's got to build us up. So that's what we're building ourselves up to. So when we're looking and saying, but I don't really have much patience, or I don't really have so much temperance inside of my life, we're not speaking about the new birth here. We're speaking of a process of him trying to bring you into his image. This transforming power that's at work inside of your life. But he has a place that he wants to get you to. He wants a certain character that he wants to develop inside of you so that you can fully express that which you partially express from the beginning. It's bringing you to maturity. That's what he's trying to do. So the other terminology, put the next one, please. Okay, let's take it from here before we get to the next one. Now, the prophet says in second-handed robe, he says, Elisha had that robe on many years before. So he's speaking of Elijah and Elisha. And how Elisha wanted Elijah's mantle. He wanted that robe. He wanted the double portion. Yeah? So he had this desire. And Elisha says to him, if you see me when I go, you shall receive this. But the important thing to remember is that when Elisha received the robe, when Elijah went up in the chariot of fire, it's not the first time he had that robe put on him. You see, that's why when you come to adoption, yeah, which is when he really fills you because you've got his character and his image, he can entrust you with things now that he could never entrust you with before. But it's nothing new really you're experiencing here. It's just a greater portion of what you had in the beginning. Because he says that Elisha had that robe on many years before. But Elisha had to grow to fit the robe. So, I think I've got the scripture. If you go to the scripture, next slide, please. 1 Kings 19. This is the calling of Elisha. So he departed thence. Why did he depart, Elijah? Because he was sent by vision. He was commissioned to come to Elisha. And Elisha types the bride. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. Now, there's nothing going to happen. This man's just going to keep plowing oxen all his life until something takes place like this.
Amen.
This is the starting point.
Amen.
Of Elisha coming to adoption.
Yeah.
Is when God sends the prophet to him, but not only the prophet,
yes,
but he has to put the mantle on him.
Amen.
This is a foretaste of what's to come.
Yes. Amen.
That's why the beginning point of your spiritual life has to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You have to taste of the supernatural power in your soul.
Amen.
Something has to come and put spiritual principles in process inside of your life. Otherwise, you'll just keep on plowing. You'll just be religious. You'll just continue like that all the days of your life. But there's a visitation, a specific visitation. God sends his prophet there with that anointing of Elijah upon him. He casts the mantle upon this young man. This man's life is never going to be the same from there. But he's going to have to give all diligence now. Because his parents are going to say, no, you can't go and follow those kind of things. We know that message. We've searched on the internet. We see what people are saying about that man. Friends, he's going to do that. The people are going to do that. So you're going to have all diligence. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek the God who's calling you at that time. You're going to have to seek him until you find him. You're going to have a divine vindication, a divine witness inside of your own soul. He's going to have to do something for you. There's no intellectual start to your Christian walk. Intellect will find you out. Because from the call comes the wilderness. Before you get to the promised land, there comes the testing time. So how are you ever going to endure the spiritual testing time without the spiritual power inside of you? Unless he puts that deposit inside of you. Unless he comes and quickens the seed. Unless there's something supernatural comes and resides in you, how are you ever going to overcome? Because without that, you're on your own. When the trials come, you've got to overcome in your own strength. And that's where we see the shipwrecks all along the way. Listen how the prophet says it. I'll just read it from this message. We read it on Friday. But the prophet says, he speaks about this very principle. If I can find it, he says, now we're supposed to do his work. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So you have your portion of his work that you are to express. Amen. That's the great promise to you and I. Amen. Yeah? You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? Sometimes we jump ahead. We want to go and try to do this, and we want to do that, we want to change the world. Yet we haven't gone deep enough in Christ in the beginning to do anything yet.
Amen.
That's where the problem comes in. No, we get a head knowledge. We know all the quotes. We know all the message terminology. We know all the catchphrases. We know the handshakes. We know how to greet one another the correct way. We know how to dress properly. All of those things are good. But unless there's a supernatural something that comes in at the beginning, it's going to find you out. It's going to find you out along the way. How many people have you seen gone into the waters of baptism? Yeah? And they never go on from there.
Amen.
They never go on from there. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like that. Water baptism is supposed to be a public testimony of something that's happened to you in private. It's an outward testimony of something that's happened inwardly. But now when the testing time comes, in the wilderness, we find many people went to the waters of baptism, but the public proclamation and testimony was a false witness. Because we find they never go on from there. Our friends, don't let it be like that inside of your life. Give all diligence. Be like the prophet said to Billy Paul, do it with all your heart. If you're going to be a bum in this life, never work a day of your life. If you're going to be a Christian, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
If you're going to be a message believer, use diligence.
Amen.
Go and find out what the message really is.
Amen.
Don't rely on me to tell you what the message is.
Amen.
Don't rely on somebody else. You go and search it out for yourself.
Amen.
Because when Mr. Critic and Mrs. Unbeliever come and you get onto certain websites, you're not going to know how to answer.
Amen.
Because you never gave diligence. The answers are here.
Amen.
The solution is here. When you pray through, you get in the Spirit. He's going to give you all that you need. Because he's stored up all the resources the bride needs to overcome any temptation that's going to come your way. But you have to give diligence yourself. The call to the Gentiles is an individual call. Yes, we are the body of Christ. We're there to help, do whatever we can do. But when the push comes to shove, it's up to you. It's up to you to seek him. It's up to you to find him. Others can pray around you and create an atmosphere, but you have to give diligence.
Amen.
Others can point you in the right direction. Others can show you the quotes and show you the scriptures, but they can't do it for you.
Amen.
You've got to add diligence and go and do it yourself.
Amen. Right.
And that's where you find these things. That's what the prophet says. He says, now there's the trouble. We find these things happening. He says, you know it and I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find these scrap heaps of ministers. Hey, scrap heaps of ministers. People that used to stand and jump and shout about the message. Now they don't believe the message anymore. Where's the problem? Is it with God? Is it with the message of the hour? No, they never added diligence. How can a person stumble at the cloud? I don't understand that. Go and search it out for yourself.
Amen.
But the problem when it's intellectual and you're relying upon some other person's revelation, some other person's understanding, the wilderness catches you now.
Amen.
But if you search it out for yourself, there's a truth, and there's a power, and there's a vindication and a witness behind whatever God does. And it'll be settled inside of you. And it doesn't matter what the devil brings. It's not going to shake you. That the prophet says, we see these scrap heaps of ministers. Scrap heaps of Christians. The shipwrecks along the way. I don't want to be a shipwreck. You don't want to be a shipwreck. You don't have to be a shipwreck. If you just go about it the right way, you will never be a shipwreck. Because the chief captains never sends the ship out without giving the ship all the resources that it needed to get safely home to the haven of rest. But if you don't use the resources, friends, and in this age, the devil is so cunning. We're so busy with everything else. We're so busy, we give diligence to Facebook. We'll never do anything without updating Facebook. Yeah? We'll never. We give all diligence to Facebook. Give all diligence to YouTube. Nothing will come that's trending on YouTube that we don't see. We know all about Donald Trump. We know all about Hillary Clinton. We know where they were born. We know when they got into politics. We know their favorite color. We know all these things. But friends, we don't know the message of the hour. That's a serious thing to think about. No, don't let it be like that. I'm so glad when we got into the message, we were told, hey, my friend, just sink or swim. You pray. I'll teach you to pray. Just the messages you listen to, let me take you and show you. Let me get you started. But once somebody helps you to get started, hit the ground running. Add all diligence. Search out these things. Search the scriptures. Search the message. Get into the things until you know what you believe. That's the most important thing. As well, definitely your sins will find you out. Because there's a cunning enemy, friends. He studies you. Just as much as we need to know the enemy, it's because he knows us. He'll find that weakness somewhere along the way. But God will have done all that he can, having given you all the armament, all the protection, all that you need to overcome. But you've got to use the resources that is given to us. The prophet says, we see the scrap heaps of ministers and Christians piled along the road. It's because they didn't go into it right. And that's why I'm here this morning. Is to try to teach the little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. Our friend, Satan's never overcome the word right from the beginning of time. Lucifer couldn't overcome the word before time began. He couldn't. He couldn't overcome Michael. He couldn't overcome the elect angels. He can never overcome the word. And when Jesus came in the threefold temptation in the wilderness, Satan knew there was a different caliber here. Amen. There was a different caliber, and now the word is in the bride. Yes. The prophet says, this is the secret of it. The word is in the bride. She knows what God wants done with his word. Oh, friends, that's growing up, as we'll see, getting to knowledge. And this kind of knowledge that it is. But the prophet's saying that, that's why I'm here this morning. So friends, it's a sobering thing. And that's why sometimes you have to really try to clench the nail. We've got youth meetings coming up. Friends, we don't want people to come and play at the youth meetings. We want people to come that are sincere and serious. And are saying, I've got weaknesses, I've got problems, I've got needs inside of my life. And I'm coming to the great physician. Because I know there's balm in Gilead. That you're coming with the right motive and objective. Is that you're wanting deliverance. You're wanting fresh revelation. You're wanting to meet him, to find him. You're wanting to break through into that realm that's required for us to overcome in this age. Otherwise, friends, we're coming for nothing. We're coming for nothing. You've got to come with a single-hearted purpose. Your motive and objective right. And then he who comes hungering and thirsting will never go away empty. He'll always meet you when you come with that kind of an expectation. So, this is the beginning of your Christian life. You've got to have the mantle cast on you in the days of your youth. It's got to be like that. So Elijah passed by. Continue on to the next one, please. The prophet says you've got to alter yourself to meet God's Holy Spirit. God won't alter the spirit to meet your desire. So for us to grow, so when the mantle's first put onto Elisha, it doesn't fit him. It's too big. And when we first get in the message of the hour, we put the mantle on, but we find, but hey, There's still plenty of room here. I need some growth. I need to grow into this so that I can fit this mantle properly. And that's what adoption is. Adoption is when the mantle fits you just fine. When you've grown and all the resources and all that you need, the characters inside of there, the experience inside of there, for you to fulfill your purpose in Christ, for you to fully take your place in Christ. That's when you've come to the stage like Elisha did. But Elisha had several years of growing to fit into the robe. So that's what the stature of a perfect man is. You receive the robe in your youth. Like with Joseph when he starts off, he receives the coat of many colors. He's already a covenant son right from the beginning. But he hasn't got to the throne yet. He doesn't yet have the dominion. He's not yet at the right hand of Pharaoh. He's not yet achieving the full purpose that he was called unto. There's going to have to be some years of him growing into the robe. But unless you receive the blessing of the Father like he did in the days of his youth, unless you receive that supernatural something when he saw the dreams in the days of his youth, you're never going to have what it takes to make it through the trials. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it in your own strength. That's why there's got to be the supernatural something. It starts you off in the beginning. What about David?
Amen.
Samuel was sent to David by vision. He was chosen. He was called. He was elect. I think I've got the scripture if you go down the next one, sister. So now we want to look at this. This is David. Other terminology, we're going from a private ceremony. When maybe you were praying one day and you met him. You were in a certain meeting and you met him in a supernatural way. He revealed himself to you. There's got to be that private something that takes place. But that private something takes place to equip you to go through these various things he's going to take you through now to develop the character of Christ inside of you to bring you to the public ceremony. To the hear ye him. But if you don't have a private ceremony, if there's nothing happens personally to you where he lays his hands upon you, God himself, and anoints you to start you on the road, you don't have the equipment that you need. You don't have what it takes to work hand in hand, to walk with him each step of the way as he takes you through the various things that he's ordained you to go through to bring you now to the public ceremony. But that's adoption, is the public ceremony.
Amen.
Go to the next one, please, sister. So we've got David here. Look at David's private ceremony. 1 Samuel 16, and the Lord said to Samuel, arise and anoint him, for this is he. So he's got to be anointed to start the work. Unless he's anointed, he's going to just continue sitting with his father's sheep. He's just going to continue to be a good boy who listens nicely to his father. But there comes an appointed season, appointed time, when God sends his prophet by vision for a specific redemptive purpose to start spiritual processes starting inside of this young man. Certain spiritual principles have to begin. So Samuel has to come and anoint him. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and that wasn't enough. In the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward.
Yes.
Our friends. He's going to need that Spirit of the Lord to give him wisdom now.
Amen.
He's going to need that Spirit when he doesn't understand why Saul is behaving the way that he is.
Amen.
He's going to need that Spirit of the Lord upon him when he's in the wilderness of Maon, when he's in the forest of Hareth, when he's in all the places that the footsteps of the righteous,
Amen.
The Lord's going to lead him to develop things inside of him.
Yes.
He's going to need something beyond the natural. He's going to need something supernatural in his experience.
Amen.
Something supernatural. He needs the tutor.
Yes.
He needs the guide.
Yes.
He's not going to make it through the wilderness without the guide.
Yes.
He's not going to make it through without the tutor.
Amen.
So he's got to receive this to start the work.
Amen.
But that's just the beginning.
Yes.
That's not yet the finished work. This was privately done with him and the family. Saul knows nothing about this. Israel knows nothing about this. This is a private ceremony. This is something which takes place between the... But it's the foretaste of something to come. Go to the next one, please. But now in 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David now has gone through and has been developed into material for the throne, there comes time for him to be inaugurated as king. And it says, and all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Amen. The public ceremony. The pomp and all the things and the many witnesses. And now the man has the full authority. Now all that's happened before, it's been put into practice now. It's now, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved king. Hear ye him. So it's got to be like it. If you go to the next one, that's why it's from the former rain to the latter rain. There's got to be the rain that comes to start the seed growing. Otherwise, that seed's just going to sit there. It's never going to start growing. Unless there's this person, some sort of a visitation in the beginning. Friends, we're just talking about the realm of faith at the bottom of this pyramid now. There's got to be something to quicken the seed. Amen. There's got to be something to start the process of growth. Yes. And that needs rain, which types the spirit. Yes. There comes the former rain in seed time. But that's a foretaste of the latter rain at harvest time. Yes. So the seed's going to go through the process of growth, process of maturity now, until it comes to being golden brown. It's no more plenty green. It's now golden brown. It's now ready to fulfill the purpose. It's now ready to bring forth a hundredfold. And that's the aim and the objective that there was in sowing the seed in the beginning. Amen. So just trying to make it clear in this terminology that the prophet's using and the different things, that there's nothing contradictory here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, because you can't. Cornelius received the Holy Ghost, him and his house, when they first heard the gospel.
Yes.
They didn't have to wait for all of these things to be developed. Then they received the Holy Ghost. Paul, when he was called and Ananias came and prayed for him and the scales fell off his eyes, he received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Otherwise, how is he going to have the power? How is he going to know which way to go? How is the Lord going to teach him? Unless the tutor's inside of them. Unless you receive the guide, that personal inward guide inside. Our friends, the wilderness is going to find you out.
Amen.
You're going to perish like Dathan, Abram, and Korah.
Yes.
You're going to perish like the multitudes in the wilderness. If Balaam doesn't get you, something else is. And we see it, friends. We see people who started off and they seem to have so much zeal. And now they're being baptized in the name of Philip Kakao. Friends. Friends. Is that right? Is that what God intended?
No.
That wasn't. When God came and gave them something of faith and started the work going, he never intended it to get there.
Right.
The problem is here. Somewhere here the problem came in. There were certain things not developed. Maybe the foundation wasn't right. Or sometimes maybe the foundation was right, but people never gave diligence. And they never allowed the Lord to achieve and build inside of them the things which they needed. And friends, that's the value of the trials that we go through. That's the value of the things that we go through. So that's a private, and then on to the public ceremony, which is the former and the latter rain. And that's what the bride's going through as well. You know, there's the former rain and the latter rain. And the former rain and the latter rain will fall together, the prophet says. But there's the final quickening unto the harvest, friends. You can feel it inside of your soul. But it comes to a certain intensity that it's a hear ye him. That there's going to be a hear ye him, and we know that. Now, let's get on to what the prophet says about why you need this faith. He says, until this man is born again, when he's born again, then he's in line of fellowship because he's a new creation. That old suspicious, doubting character he was is dead. Now he's a new creation. You see, he don't have to add anything now. It'll automatically be added. You see, once the process starts, because he that began the good work, he's going to see it through, friends.
Amen.
He's going to be faithful. He doesn't send the rain without doesn't return back to him without achieving the purpose to which it was sent.
Right.
No, so the prophet's trying to give us something. And now he says it a little bit further on paragraph 22-1. He says, first you must be born again.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
And then when you're born again, you have faith.
Amen.
You believe the word.
Amen.
Until you're born again, you'll argue against it.
Yes.
You'll argue against
yes.
it.
Amen.
That's an important principle.
Because
yes. he's going to take you through things, friends, you're not going to understand.
Yes.
And unless he's done something within the veil, you're going to argue against
yes.
it.
Amen.
You're going to be grieved.
Yes.
When you wanting to get married and it takes 10 years for you to get married, you're going to argue against it. And if you're not careful, you're going to start to manufacture now.
Amen.
When it's taking too long, you're going to look for Hagar now.
Amen.
Let's manufacture a solution to the problem.
Amen.
And it's going to be something that's almost going to cripple you up.
Yes.
No, you don't want it to be like that.
Amen.
You want to receive something, an anointing, something that comes inside of your soul, that no matter what you go through, you know that He's right.
Yes.
No matter what you go through, you know that His word is true.
Yes.
And that's what the faith is in the beginning. You need that kind of a faith.
Amen.
That kind of a faith. He says, until you're born again, you will argue against it. If you're just religiously inclined. Religiously inclined. The failure of intellectual faith.
Yes.
Like Brother Johnny Reagan preached. The failure of intellectual faith. You don't want that. Intellectual faith will let you down at exactly the wrong time.
Amen.
Just when you needed something to kick in within the veil, there's nothing to kick in. Oh, friends, you don't want to be in that situation. You don't want Samson. The Philistines are upon you and there's nothing there anymore. Yeah? You don't want 1,000 Philistines to come against you in the wilderness. You pick up the jawbone of a mule and something doesn't kick in. No. You want something real, friends. Because you're going to need something real. Because this is warfare. This is a spiritual warfare. We're in a dimension in this age of spiritual warfare higher than any other age ever had to go through. Because hell has been opened. Hell has vomited itself out upon the earth. Our friends, we see it in the music. We see it in Hollywood, what they're producing. We see it in the video games. We see another dimension of insanity has been released upon the earth. And you think you and me with my little popcorn brain, yeah, our little own intellectual power that we're going to overcome in this age. You will never.
Amen.
That's why there's got to be faith.
Amen.
And God will always give His children the right sending off. And that's what He ordains for us. And that's why there's got to be this faith. The prophet says, you've got to be born again. And it produces faith. Then you're in the position of growing. We put the next one, sister. This is what he said about the Pentecostals. No. I'll read this one first. I love this quote. You have to know God and His nature before you can understand His word.
Amen.
Before you can understand this word, you've got to know Him. You've got to know His nature. Before you can understand His dealings with you, which is part of the word. Because you are fulfilling the word. You'll never understand the mystery of your life unless this something comes into you. This new birth. Unless He comes in within the veil, the great guide and tutor Himself, and takes His residence, takes His abode within the veil. Then when things come that you don't understand, something kicks in.
Amen.
When the enemy thinks that he's got you, something kicks in. The prophet says the inside of the inside. There's got to be the anchor within the veil. The prophet says when the Satan came to him that day in a visible form and the prophet saw him and tried to say about Sharon Rose, says after all that you've done for him, yeah, fasting until you were so weak, you couldn't even climb up the telephone pole to do your work hardly, preaching night and day and then coming home and sitting in the chair and sleeping a few hours and going out again. After all that he's done for you, then he won't hear your prayers. The prophet says that was the hardest trial. He says, and reasoning started kicking in. Because the prophet says he was starting to work from without. And he was trying to get down to the soul. He says, and just when it got to that place that I was about to say, if that's the way he is, I won't serve him. He said, something kicked in from within.
Amen.
And I heard myself saying, but who am I?
Amen.
Who gave me this wife?
Amen.
Who gave me this baby? The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though He slay me, yet I will serve Him. Get behind me, Satan. The prophet said, if that hadn't have been there, we wouldn't know each other today. Oh, friends. Oh, there's something within the veil that He wants to put in every one of His sons and daughters. He's put it in seed form, but He wants to quicken that seed. So that when you come to the end of yourself, there's another gear that kicks in. And any believer that's been a believer for any manner of years, you know that, friends, it's not your own strength. How many times, I was fellowshipping with Brother Tom at our house on Thursday, and he said, Brother, so many times I felt I wanted to just give up in the ministry. He says, and then something just kicks in again. And then the Lord just does something for you once again. And the impetus comes back. The momentum starts, because this is His work. But you make sure that you apply diligence. When He draws near, maybe you're in the midst of a trial, and He speaks to your soul and says, go and listen to, why are people so tossed about? Lay aside everything else. Give all diligence. Forget about the internet. Forget about Facebook. Forget about those things for a season. It's your soul we're speaking about. And He's giving you the resource that you need to go through what you're going through. Ah, friends, and when you act in season, how good it is. There's such an anointing when the power of God is present to heal, when the power of God is present to deliver. Like Brother Howard preached that time, step in. When the waters are troubled, step in when the waters are being troubled. If you wait too long, the virtue is gone. The virtue is gone. That's how we need to give all diligence. So the prophet says that you have to know God and His nature. And that's why there's got to be this faith from the beginning. This revelation right from the beginning. Because there's going to be so many things you don't understand. There's going to be so many times your brothers and sisters are going to let you down. So many times I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down. And if we're leaning on the arm of flesh, if we're relying on one another, oh, we're people most miserable. We're going to be these shipwrecks of faith. We're going to be these like Hymenaeus and Alexander made shipwreck of their faith. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be Demas who has forsaken me. I haven't loved this present world. What's the purpose of starting out and not finishing the race? No. You don't want it. So start properly. Amen. It's got to start with faith. So that's what he says. Look at the next one. Now remember, here's where you Pentecostal people miss the mark. As soon as you were born again and received the Holy Spirit, you thought that settled it. That was just the beginning. Now you're in the line of growth. Now you can start walking the 7 steps to perfection. Because know you not, you're a temple. You're a temple. Power, full of glory. Walking up them 7 steps unto perfection, unto adoption. That's the high calling that Paul was speaking about. That he was willing to lay everything else aside to get to that place. So the prophet speaks about that there. Now, let's skip past virtue because we looked at it. I just wanted to get on to faith a little bit. I took a little bit longer than I thought there because I wanted just to make that clear. When we're speaking about that realm of faith and about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and about adoption and about the capping off of the ministry inside of your life, now these things that all do tie together perfectly. Now, the prophet now speaks about virtue. We saw it the other day. Now we get on to knowledge. Now, this one of knowledge is going to teach us the principle that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
This one's going to teach us that nothing happens to a believer by chance.
Amen.
God is behind every move.
Amen.
He's testing the reaction to an action.
Amen.
He's trying to teach you something. That's what we said on Friday about Brother Lonnie Jenkins when he said that. Whenever you get into trial, go and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me?
Amen.
What is the lesson that's here? Don't fly off too quickly and, oh, people don't understand me and, oh, life is so hard, woe is me. No. That's not why He put you in that situation.
Amen.
He wants to make Himself more real.
Yes.
He wants you to know Him better, to know yourself better, to know you are as a believer. He wants to develop this knowledge inside of you. Now, knowledge now, the definition of knowledge, I'll get onto the different things the prophet says, but if you really go and study this word knowledge, it's experimental knowledge. Experimental knowledge. Working knowledge. To connect theory with application.
Yes.
So now we know all the theory. We're believers. We're not yet married, but you know how everybody should look after their children. Yeah, we do. We know everybody should run their homes. We know that, no, if you're married, you must do this and that. That's fine. That's all theory. But that's not this knowledge we're speaking about.
Amen.
This knowledge now is practical.
Amen.
It's because of what you've been through.
Amen.
This is truth that you learn only by going through things, by experiencing things. You never know the truth of the word that says, I never leave you nor forsake you at the beginning.
Amen.
That's a theory. That's intellectual. But when you go through trial that he ordains, he wants to give you the true knowledge of his promise.
Amen.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you get to a stage inside of your life that because of what you've been through and because of what has been done for you and what you're going through, it develops this knowledge in you.
Amen.
This knowledge to know that his word is true.
Amen.
That when he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you.
Amen.
They will not go over your head.
Amen.
How will you ever know? Unless he leads you to the waters.
Yes.
Unless he leads you through the fires. Unless he leads you through the trials. You'll never get this knowledge.
Amen.
That's right. This knowledge shows us that, friends, there's got to be a cooperation.
Amen.
He's going to lead us into certain situations. He's going to give us the resources that we need. And there's a lesson that he wants us to learn. And always the most difficult time is the first time. Because you don't know what to expect. You don't know exactly the way to go through. But when you find someone who's been through things a few times, he knows. Calm down, friends. God's soon going to come on the scene. Because he's done it time and time again. And what he's done in the past, he'll do it again. But you'll only know that through experience. That's this knowledge that we're speaking about. It's to take your knowledge from being intellectual, from being a theory, which is good. You have to read the word. You have to stand on the promise, even if it's not real to you at that time. Then he will take you through something and quicken that to you. And the experience that you go through when he's with you through that trial is going to convert that being something that was intellectual to something that becomes experiential. Something that's real and you know. And all the devils in hell will never move you from that kind of a knowledge. That's what this knowledge is. So you can see, you need the tutor. Otherwise, he'll never be able to lead you and teach you in these situations so that that knowledge can be converted into the right kind of a knowledge. You need him day by day, every hour. So this kind of knowledge, the definition it means, it's knowledge that is gleaned from first-hand experience.
Amen.
Don't you love being with people that are veterans?
Amen.
That have been through many things?
Amen.
Because they don't just speak theory.
Amen.
You will come with all of your theories. But it says, it says, it says. I said, no, my friend, just calm down. Let me tell you the way.
Amen.
I've proved it.
Amen.
I know this works.
Amen.
Do it this way.
Amen.
Friends. When you go and sit under the old oak tree, like the prophet says. Like I said, go and sit under the oak tree. Go and fellowship with Brother Bosworth concerning divine healing. Because he knew it practically. He had been through it. He had seen it. He had learnt it firsthand. It wasn't intellectual. It was real. It was something that's real. Now look, just to confirm that, the prophet says it, page 27 of the message. He says three things about this knowledge. Knowledge to believe that God cannot lie.
Amen.
That's this knowledge.
Amen.
Knowledge that says God will never lie.
Amen.
But how do you know that God never lies until you put in a situation that he comes and proves that he's true?
Amen.
That's the only time you know God doesn't lie.
Amen.
You'll know it intellectually. You say, but God can't lie. That's an intellectual thought. That's good. You must stand on that. But when you've been through the trials of life, that's when he proves you, I'll never lie.
Amen.
When I say I'll never leave you, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
And he brings you right into the hospital, right before the operation, right into the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
And then he proves I'm with you.
Amen.
And when you come out the other side of the trial, you can say, friends, I never knew that promise properly before. But now I know God doesn't lie. When he says he'll be with you, he'll be with you. When he says he'll never forsake you, he'll never forsake you. That's the knowledge that the prophet says this knowledge is. Now all of us are growing into Elijah's garment. So we have this knowledge. Different ones of us have grown further, gone through certain things. But every one of us, he's already developing this inside of us.
Amen.
You've already made great progress if you've been a believer for any space of time. So you can see, you didn't even know that he was developing these things in you. Because it's his responsibility. Because you his son and you his daughter. It's his responsibility to bring you to here.
Amen.
So you just have to cooperate. And when you make your mistake, you get up. A righteous man falls seven times, gets up again seven times. Amen. You just dust yourself down. You put the gun in the artillery. It doesn't go off. You don't give up and say, we lost the battle. Throw it out. Put another one. One of them's going to go off. Amen. That's the principle of this one here. So it's knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. The prophet says, that is supreme knowledge. You know the word science means knowledge? This is true science.
Amen.
This is true science.
Amen.
Not that other science where they can tell you a lot of things and next year they change the textbooks. And they tell you that we came from monkeys and others say maybe we didn't. Or they tell you we came from some primordial soup. And now they all realize that it's impossible for us to come from there because there's too much complexity in the cell. Can you see? You don't want to build your foundation on sinking sand.
Amen.
You want to build upon the rock. And nobody's ever stood upon the word of God and regretted it.
Amen.
There's never been a person since the beginning of time who put his trust in the Lord and was ever put to shame.
Amen.
That's what David said. But how did David know that? Because of what he went through.
Amen.
That's why after he was anointed, he had to be sent into the wilderness. So that he could learn, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want. Though he prepares even a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Ah, friends, those are the kinds of people you want to associate with.
Amen.
You don't want to associate with Mr. Critic and Mr. Skeptic and all of those that are doubting. Friends, I don't want those people.
Amen.
In my sphere of influence. We don't have enough time in this life.
Yes.
Let's redeem the time for the days of evil.
Amen.
Let's use the resources. Let's give all diligence to add to our virtue knowledge.
Amen.
So when you know the Lord's put you in a trial, a situation, give diligence. Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, lead me to the right scripture. Lord, lead me to the right message. Lord, instruct me. You the tutor. You the guide. What are you trying to teach me at this time? Ah, friends. And those become the stepping stones in your experience. Those become, instead of being a stumbling block, but because you use the resources wisely, it becomes a stepping stone. Ah, those become footprints in the sands of time. That another brother following on life's what Solomon, he sees them and takes heart again. Those are the kinds of footsteps that you want to leave behind you in the sands of time. So the prophet says, that's supreme knowledge. He says, add knowledge. Knowledge of his word. You see, everybody has this kind of knowledge of his word, yeah? Yeah? But we want the real knowledge of his word. You know, the reading knowledge is good. We have to do that. But you wanted to connect now from theory into application. That's what it is. That's what this knowledge is. Knowledge of his word. The prophet says, you must believe it in this way.
Amen.
That's the way. Then he finishes off on knowledge. He says, knowledge that God is able to keep everything that he's promised.
Amen.
That's the knowledge.
Amen.
Ah, friends, these only things only come with experience, don't they?
Amen.
They only come as we go through trials and so forth. Knowledge that the Bible doesn't contradict itself.
Amen.
That no matter how it looks in your life,
Amen.
No matter how the circumstances seem to contradict what God promised, just see it through.
Amen.
And you'll find that nothing that he leads you through contradicts his word.
Amen.
Because his word says all things work together for good.
Yes.
It has to work out for your good. So friends, that's the kind of knowledge. And he finishes off, he says, your faith that says, I know he's the same. I've witnessed him the same. There's nothing can take it away from you. I know he's real. Then add that to your virtue. See, you're coming up now. Coming up right up towards the kingdom. Is it not a sweet thing that? To the kingdom. So David's coming up to the kingdom. He's coming from the private ceremony. But he has to go through the wilderness, has to go through the caves. Brother Dave has to go through all of his trials with his sight, and he has to go through his papers not working. And what is it? Trying to bring a knowledge. No, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you right to the end of the journey. He knows what he's doing. Amen. So the prophet says, Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ. That they might be a powerhouse. This is building up into a powerhouse. At first, you're not so much of a powerhouse. But as you go through and you're gathering now the material, gathering the resources through what he takes you through, you're becoming a powerhouse. Do we have enough time for one more?
Yes.
Or are people tired? The prophet says this knowledge is heavenly knowledge. Okay. Let's take one more before we finish. Let's take temperance. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer from the beginning. I'm going to step on a lot of people's toes now. This one of temperance. I'll say it from the beginning because that's what we need. Because temperance is a very important one. And this is one where so many people fail in the ministry. Fail in their marriage. Fail. They make up well up to here and then they fail on temperance. So let's take about 20 minutes and we'll finish on temperament. So fourthly, add temperance. What is temperance? If you can put the slide, sister. Temperance is self-control. Ooh. Self-control proceeding out from within. The virtue of one who masters his desires and his passions, especially his sensual appetites. Now that's what that word means in the Bible. So it means you have mastery. Within, you have mastery over yourself.
Amen.
You have, now tell me, let's tell the truth, friends. You're never going to have mastery over yourself if you don't use the resources.
Amen.
Because there's a black horse and a white horse. And if you're not going to feed the white horse, how are you going to have mastery over the black horse? But if you give diligence and you feed that white horse, it doesn't matter what comes. There's going to be that pretty girl at work who's going to flash them eyes at you. There's going to be that slick-tongued boy who's going to promise you all those things at college or at school. Yeah, and your heart's going to start to flutter when he speaks to you. And there's going to be a reaction in the outward man. There's going to be a desire. There's going to be a desire in the spiritual realm of your emotions and so forth. Now, self-control is that within there. When the going gets tough, when it seems, hey, I'm in trouble here, the Christian, the real believer, has the ability to put himself into another gear.
Amen.
And he puts that under his feet.
Amen.
That very thing that wanted to conquer you, there's an inward ability inside of you. It's not your own power, but it's in the seed and it's in the anointing that comes upon the seed. And you'll find yourself that just like David says, when my feet are about to slip, something kicks in again. And then that thing which thought it had mastery over you, like with Samson, you pick up the gates and you carry them to the top of the hill. Now friends, we need this one. This is such an important one. It's the virtue of one who masters his desires or passions. Now the prophet says it in this way. He said, Holy Spirit temperance. How to control your tongue. That's why I apologized beforehand. Because I knew what I was about to read. Self-control. If you go to the picture, sister, please back one. If you cannot control your tongue, your religion is vain, the Bible says. Vain. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not once in a while going to make mistakes. We're not speaking about that. But we're speaking about someone whose tongue has mastery over them. That you just can't stop gossiping about other people.
Amen.
You, when the going gets tough, you just can't stop being critical. Oh, the song leader this, and oh, the deacons that. You're not going to get any further until you add diligence. You need to add diligence now because you need to put that thing underfoot. Because you're not going any further as a believer until you have mastery over this one.
Amen.
You're not going any further.
Yeah.
You may justify yourself, I prayed for the sick and they were healed. That's got nothing to do with it.
Yes.
You might say, when I preach, I'm anointed. Yes. That's got nothing to do with it.
Yes.
That's just gifts. Gifts have got nothing to do with character.
Yes.
There's going to be multitudes at the white throne that were anointed and gifted that are lost.
Amen.
Did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
That means nothing.
Amen.
The real test is when you put in the corner. The real test is in the wilderness now. That's when you show who you really are. So the prophet says, temperaments. That means how to control your tongue. Not to be a tattler. That means how to control your temper.
Amen.
Not to fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you.
Yes.
Oh, friends, so many people here. Just say a few words against them. You don't see them in church next week.
Yes.
And they say they've got temperaments. What kind of temperaments is it? I don't understand it. Where's the self-control? Just step on somebody's toes. I'm not going to be in the musicians anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to preach anymore. People said this, that, and the other against me. What's that got to do with it? Who called you to preach? Who called you to be a musician? Did that person call you? No, you need the mastery yourself. You need to, doesn't mean the feeling's not going to come. Doesn't mean the disappointment's not going to kick in. Doesn't mean the anger's not going to want to kindle inside of there. But now add diligence. Use the resources now. Use the resources. And He will empower you, as many as receive Him. To them He gives power. Dunamis. To become the sons and daughters of God. He will give you the power if you just have the right attitude. And sometimes the right attitude is to go and sit down and say, please, I need help.
Amen.
Some people are so proud, they never think they need help. And that's why they don't go any further than they do. We all need help.
Amen.
We all need somebody to help raise our hands at certain times when the hands go down. When the battle's being lost. We need humility.
Amen.
We need to realize the resources that is given to us. Sometimes when the passion's hot and you're tempted and that pornography has been giving you a hard time, you need to have that brother that's born for your day of adversity, that sister that's born, somebody who's prayerful, somebody who's prayed up, that you can go and sit with them and say, brother, sister, I need help. Please, help me to pray through. I want to get mastery over this thing. I'm not ordained for this thing to put its foot on my neck. I'm ordained to put my foot on its neck. Use the resources. As we said on Friday, sometimes it's fasting. Fasting and prayers. Any afflicted, let him pray. All night, agonizing. Seeking the Lord, putting on the messages. The power of sanctification in the anointed word is tremendous. Jesus told his disciples, you are sanctified through the truth. You come many times to church. You listen to a message. Your mind is so full of other things. You know, there's things trying to defile you, things trying to pass through. You just get in the presence of the Lord. The word comes forth. You leave there completely different. Why? The power of sanctification. That's the power that's in the word of God. Let's finish it off. He says, boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? Listen, that's an important point. Then we wonder why God's not in his church doing miracles and things that he used to do. Because we're not here. We're here. We're not here. So he can only work in part. Because you've only grown into Elijah's mantle in part. We haven't fully grown. There's something hindering the growth. Let's finish it off. Add temperaments. Temperaments. How to answer in kindness, the prophet says, when wrath is spoken to you. How to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken to you. Somebody says, you bunch of holy rollers down there. Don't jump out and roll up your sleeves now. No. But talk with godly love. Temperaments. Kindness. Isn't that the way you want to be? When you riled upon, rile not back. Let him be your example. The word made flesh himself. The masterpiece himself, Christ. Let's read that scripture. Just as we finish. Give me 10 more minutes, we'll finish. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Some people don't want me to preach on this topic. 1 Peter 2 verse 19. Let's read this one here. It's speaking about the master. The prophet says, learn from the example. 1 Peter 2. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience sake towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now friends, if you suffer because you are gossip, it's your fault. That's not suffering for Christ. If you suffer because you were treacherous against people in the church, that's your fault. You made the bed, now you need to sleep in it. You filled the cup with bitter water, now you have to drink of the same cup. But if you suffer wrongfully, yeah, like the Bible says, if you're just a believer, you're just doing your best, you're just trying to do what's right, and then things come against you, that's what it says. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Next one. For even hereunto were you called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. Oh, that's the character of Christ being developed. But how is this ever going to be developed if he doesn't put you into those kind of situations? When he brings the young boy and the young girl kissing in the back of the meeting and says, in your hands, what will you do? That's when you see whether you've got temperance inside of there. That's when something either kicks in or doesn't, friends. And that's why we're needing this temperance. The prophet says that he had temperance. When they called him Beelzebub, he said, I forgive you for it. When they pulled handfuls of beard out of his face and spit in his face, come down off the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He had the gift, but the gift isn't enough. He knew all things. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They put a rag about his head, hit him on the head with a stick, prophesied, tell us who hit you. But you see, he had temperaments. Now, if you've got it like that, add it to your faith. Amen. Oh, that's a challenging one. Amen. That's a challenging one. This is a trial for ministers. Because when you come and preach and somebody's been unjust, somebody said this or did that or tried to cause some sort of a stew, it's easy to be like Moses, yeah? And you take the rod. And you say, you rebels, must I bring water out of the rock for you? Yeah. And what does it do? It's a blemish. You do something that's going to disqualify you from going further. This is the thought I wanted to finish on. Especially in ministry. And even we'll see in marriage. Yeah? Young girls. There's certain things you can do and you can be forgiven, but you can never be justified. You can never go back to what you used to be. And that's where temperament is so important. Because the devil's going to try to put you in situations. And if you're not careful, you're going to react in that situation so badly. And it'll be such an important test. Like Moses, when the Lord said, go and speak to the rock. Again, yeah? And he went, and because of his anger, he didn't apply temperance. Because of his temper and his frustration with the people, he took the rod and he smote it, that rock. And he was disqualified from going into the promised land.
Amen.
Doesn't mean he was lost, but he disqualified himself. Amen. I've seen this one, friends, with people. Gifted people. People with potential to be something. But because they lack self-control. Because they can't wait God's time for something.
Amen.
We'll see it when you get your patience. Because they're not happy with this, they're not happy with that. Why? And many of the things might be just cause. But because they couldn't master themselves, they went and with this thing here, they almost destroyed their future.
Amen.
They can be forgiven, but for them to undo what was done, for them to roll it back, that's why this one needs a lot of thought.
Amen.
A lot of meditation. Because there's certain things that you'll cross a line. Maybe you young sisters, God has ordained you to marry some real man of God. Someone who is going to lead the bride of Christ in a certain place. But because of your lack of temperance, because when lust comes your way one day, and because some young boy speaks to you in a certain way, and you break the veil that shouldn't be broken, you can be forgiven now, but you can never be justified. You can never go back to what you used to be. And in certain sacred things in the kingdom of God, that is a requirement. That a minister has to marry a virgin. He says, so maybe God had good thoughts towards you. Yeah, God had great thoughts towards you. But because of your lack of temperament, you spoil the very program that God is trying to establish inside of your life. That's why temperance is such an important one. You say, give me an example in the Bible. Esau.
Amen.
Esau.
Amen.
Because of his flesh. Because of his hunger. He says, I'm about to perish. I'm about to die. What good does this birthright do me? Yeah. And he didn't have temperance. He couldn't master himself.
Amen.
He couldn't put that carnal desire underfoot at that time. And instead it got the mastery over him. And what does the Bible say? When he went to seek for the blessing,
yes. Yes.
He couldn't find it, though he sought yes. it with tears.
Yes.
Oh, there's certain things that you do, friends. I've seen it, and sometimes I shake my head and I say, but Lord, if only that brother had have realized that what is done there is almost impossible to fix.
Yes. Yes.
It's almost impossible to fix, to make right. What's another example? Reuben.
Amen.
He was the firstborn. My firstborn, beginning of strength, yeah, excellency of my might. But because he couldn't overcome his passion,
yes, yes.
The Bible says he went and he slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine.
Mm.
And Jacob heard it. So when it came time now for the blessing, what happened? He lost the birthright.
Amen.
The very thing that he was born to inherit.
Yes, yes.
The very God doesn't make a mistake when somebody's born first.
Amen.
But because he lacked temperance, he was disqualified from the very thing that he was raised up to.
Amen.
But let's give the example on the other side. Who got the birthright? Joseph.
Amen.
Now Joseph, in the midst of his trials, he has Potiphar's wife. He has Potiphar's wife. Listen what the prophet says about Potiphar's wife. It's quite a thing the way that he explains it, if I can find it here. He says in sixfold purpose, okay? He says, Potiphar's wife, this beautiful woman, honorable in society, yeah? The highest, one of the highest there was in the country, begged him and persuaded him and tried to hug him up to her. That's a test of temperaments. But Joseph used the resources. Because God will never put you in a trial that you can't overcome. Many people here can witness of this. You know what it's like, friends. You know that if I don't act myself wisely here, I'm gone. You know that. But God would have forewarned you, would have forearmed you. And you'll get in that situation. And just when your flesh, just when the temptation is great, there's another gear that kicks in. The gear of Holy Ghost temperance. And now that thing which was about to control you, you find you have preeminence over it. And you get out of there and you go, whew, that was close. That was the grace of God. And because Joseph had temperance, he could control himself. Whereas Reuben couldn't control himself. Reuben lost the birthright. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned according to the birthright, the Bible says. The birthright went to Joseph. The priesthood went to Levi. We know that. We know that the way that it was distributed. It's a serious principle. Now the prophet says that. He speaks about those different people as we come to the last couple of quotes. He says, now, if you've got it like that, that kind of temperance, but if you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you can't add that. It won't vulcanize.
Yes, yes.
It's not the right material.
Amen.
But when your virtue is like his virtue, then it'll add to it. And when your knowledge is like his knowledge, if you haven't, if you just have a man-made, halfway souped up belief or temperaments, Oh, I ought to slap him down. Maybe I'd better not. Because they might put my name in the paper about it. That ain't the kind of temperaments he's talking about. Don't try to add that. But when you can really, with the sweetness from your heart, forgive every man, hold your peace, let it be gone, then it'll vulcanize. Whew. No wonder the church is so short. Isn't that right? When you fly loose, when you want to jump at every conclusion, that's not it. You haven't got Bible temperance yet when you do that, of how to answer back. But don't stop there. As we go from here today, friends, let's consider this one carefully. Let's consider the reaction to an action. Nothing that's happened in your life, nothing that's happening now is by chance. He's led you there. The great tutor, the great guide, has led you to exactly the situation that you are. If you failed before, that's okay. He'll bring you back once again. Because he is determined to bring you to the place that he's ordained you to be. But watch out for your passions. Watch out for your temper. Watch out for your tongue. Remember the prophet has told, be careful what you say. Because there's a trap set for you. Because some of these things, when you do them, it's impossible to undo them. The Bible says a bishop has to be blameless, the Bible says. A deacon has to be blameless. Doesn't mean they don't make a mistake. But there's a certain severity of giving yourself over to across a certain line that once you do it, you can be forgiven, but people will never trust you again. Well, it'll be very hard for the saints to accept you once again. Not that you're not forgiven, but it's hard for people to justify you. Because there was a certain severity. There was a certain line that you crossed, you shouldn't have crossed. And if the truth be told, the tutor was putting the red lights. He was warning you. He was telling you, don't go any further than this. But like Moses, sometimes we want to do it ourselves. And we regret it. So may God help us as we continue on the seven steps to perfection. Let's stand.
Amen.
We want to be like him, to be like Jesus. On earth, we want to be like him. Satan tried everything on him, but he was the Word made flesh. He was the stature of the perfect man. He was the masterpiece. And we want to be like him. Let's sing that song, To Be Like Jesus. How I just want to be like him.
From Bethlehem's manger came for the stranger, honor thy Lord, to be like him, my faithful Savior, how rich his
Jesus, to be like Jesus.
In our hearts, you might say, I made a great mistake. You know, I really stepped across a certain line, and I'm just wondering, is there any way back for me? Now, I messed up in relationships, I messed up in ministry, I messed up in my calling. Is there any way back? I'll just take you to the prodigal son. Oh, friends, if you have the right attitude, if you're willing to go like that young man did to his father, with such an open-hearted, broken acknowledgement of your wrong, I believe there's a way back. There's a way back for almost everything. No, but if that young man had have come back to his father and tried to justify himself, you know, try to find some reason why, and had hidden certain things deep down inside, friends, he never would have received the robe. He never would have received the ring. He never would have received the shoes on his feet. He never would have come to the feast. He never would have come to the great celebration of reconciliation and redemption once again. But I believe that inside of yourself, if you think deeply, that's where you start. The prophet says you've got to remember from where you have fallen. You've got to go back first in thought and really be honest about it. If you've been treacherous in your life, I believe the only way you can win confidence of people once again is you've got to acknowledge your treachery. You've got to first overcome yourself in prayer. You've got to wrestle like Jacob in prayer, to overcome that old carnal, self-justifying flesh. And then when there's something that breaks inside of your soul and you know, Lord, I'm wrong, then you go to your father. Or to go to your wife or your husband or your brethren or whoever it is, and you say to them, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called to do this anymore. And then you find the spirit of grace will come down. The spirit of reconciliation. Because he will restore. He said, I will restore the days that the palmer worm and the canker worm and the locust and all these things, he can restore. But friend, you need to give all diligence. You don't need to leave it in the hands of God anymore. You don't need to blame other people anymore. Today, there's got to be something on the altar within your soul. There's got to be something that you lay upon the altar. When you lay it upon the altar, it means you're wanting it to die. Because nothing came to the altar and lived. When you brought something to the altar, you were bringing it there to die. And if you are willing today, as we pray, to bring it to the altar, I believe there can be a new dawn. I believe there can be I will restore. I believe that he's done all that he can do. Now he leaves it in your hands. I just say to you, my friend, add all diligence. Just give diligence. Just do it with all your heart. And it starts in prayer. Let's sing that song before we come to pray. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. And then let's come to a time of prayer. Let's really seek Him today, friends. Let's not pray token prayers, but let's pray to Him from our hearts.
I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never go to
mountain for too long, but today I'm turning northward. Whatever your desire, let's seek the Lord. Let's seek Him while He may be found. Let's all pray.
Father of love, never by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace, Most
within the veil. It starts just with a simple decision to say, I will arise and I will go to my Father's house and I will say to my Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. The way that I behaved, I'm not worthy, Lord. But won't you take me as your servant? And then the anointing will come down and say, you were never ordained to be my servant. You're my son for my loins. You're ordained to be my son. You've gone through what you've gone through for a purpose, so that you could come to this day. And then he'll put the cloth, take off the old rags off you. He'll put on the robe, he'll put shoes on your feet, put the ring on your finger. And what a wonderful, glorious walk it is with your Father from thenceforth. Let that be our prayer. One more song there, Brother Vlad, if you would. Let's sing, I bless your name.
His chest with bleeding stars, whole and silent, prayed at night, and in their pain began to say.
Shout and praise, defy no shame. In Jesus' name, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Let's ask Brother Max to come and close for us. Let's sing that chorus once again as it comes, but let's just remember what the prophet said. The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Amen.
Don't leave this place with good intentions and leave it like that. If there's something that he's spoken to you, go and do it.
Amen.
Don't procrastinate. Don't let this time pass you by.
Amen.
Use every opportunity that he gives you. And that's the sure way that you'll continue on the seven steps to perfection. May the Lord bless you. Let's ask Brother Max. Let's sing that chorus again as Brother Max.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Yes, dear Lord Jesus, we appreciate you this afternoon, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word that has come. Lord, many a time we find ourselves in situations that, Lord, we don't even realize.
Amen. Amen.
But Lord Jesus, this afternoon, we thank you for the word that has bring us to remembrance.
Amen.
Of the things that, Lord, we need to do.
Amen.
Father, one thing we ask of you,
yes,
that, Lord, we will come to realization.
Amen.
Father, we know even Samson, he came to a time of realization.
Amen.
That he has failed God.
Amen.
he has filled himself.
Amen.
And he prayed, as the prophet said, he prayed the right prayer.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, help us, O God, that when we find ourselves in those situations, we will pray the rightful prayer, O God. Even the same also applied, even as the preacher preached, Lord, the prodigal son. He came to that same realization. He looked around himself. He found himself in the situation whereby he knew that he has failed his father and has failed his God. So when he came to that realization, he went back to the Father. Lord Jesus, we pray that to God, any time, Lord, this situation we find ourselves, that spirit of realization, Lord, will come to us, that we will quickly, O God, turn away from our situation, Lord. Father, we are looking at the promise that you have given to us, that by which, O Lord, we will be able, Lord, to be partakers of this divine nature. Lord, renew our faith. Father, we pray the Lord Jesus, you energize, Lord, our virtues. We pray the Lord Jesus, our knowledge, Lord, you broaden them. Not the knowledge of this world, but the knowledge of your word, O God. And Lord Jesus, the temperance. The temperance. Lord, control our tongues. Father, bring humility upon us. The Lord, in all things, O God, we look back to the word and see the right standard, O God, by which, Lord Jesus, we will apply to our lives. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your word of life, the word of grace, the word that you have preserved for us. Lord, we thank you. We commit our pastor, Lord, into your hands. Oh, the subject is not yet completed. Father, we pray that, Lord, you are anointing more and more, O God, bringing the revelation of the rest of your Lord as we climb these steps to perfection, Lord. Father, we pray the Lord, at the end of it, O God, we will be like you.
Amen.
So, Lord, this afternoon we say, glory be to your name.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our visitors in our midst, Lord. The Lord bless them, O God.
Amen.
Even if there is someone amongst us this day, O God, that he has heard something and want to turn around, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, grant him that strength, Lord. That faith, Lord, that virtue, Lord, that temperance, oh, the Lord, that knowledge, that Father, he will come to your house, Lord. Father, we thank you once again. Even we thank you for the generosities you granted us from our various homes. As we are going back, Lord, we want to carry this word upon our hearts. And Lord, meditate upon them, even right in our crosses, Lord, that Father, it will be life in us, O God. We
Amen.
Thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless our children. Bless husbands. Bless wives. Bless the youths. And bless the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
As we dismiss, let's sing, I'm walking up the seven steps to perfection. Know you not that you are a temple? You're not a temple of gossip, friends. You're not a temple just to fill yourself with Facebook. You're a temple of the living God. To be filled with his glory, to be filled with his power, to reflect him to this dying world. May the Lord help us to fulfill that commission. And God bless you as we depart.
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up perfection,
I am a temple
of the Holy God. Know we not, you are the temple. Know we not, you are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy God. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know I am the temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know I am the temple. I am the temple of the Holy God. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Walking up the seventh step unto perfection. Walking up the seventh step unto perfection. Walking up the seventh step unto perfection.